Hi, I'm Monica Hallan, and this is my podcast, Let's Talk Money. Every Friday, a new episode will drop that gives you a snapshot analysis of one money-related topic that has meaning in your life. And then I answer your money questions. My hope is to put you on the path to financial stability and freedom. So, let's talk money. A long time ago, I was in Singapore on a holiday. And you know, every time I looked around, there were babies. There were babies in prams, in the arms of their parents, toddling around unsteadily, chasing birds, squeaking, squalling. Babies were everywhere. What's going on? The reporter in me kicked in and I began to ask around. And I found that the Singapore government was concerned about the falling population and had given a tax incentive to couples to have babies. So boom! We were in the middle of a baby boom. Using taxes as a nudge to modify individual behavior is something that most governments do. And it helps us to understand the tax system a bit better if we know the big picture policy direction of the government. And that is what we will do today. Understand the basic tax rules that affect our lives as direct taxpayers. I know that we reluctantly deal with this part of our working lives. Paying, saving, filing taxes. But we do not have a clear idea of how we are taxed. You know, many years ago while studying for my certified financial planner exam, I remember reading the tax planning book and then really beginning to understand the logic of taxation in India. When you understand something, the process becomes less intimidating and easier, and we might fight it just a little bit less. That's what I will do today, help you understand the personal income tax space a little bit better. So let's get some big picture statistics in place first. Did you know that individual taxes account for just 19% of the total budget? We might feel that we hold up the country's entire expenditure on our heads, but in real life, our direct taxes account for just 1/5 of the total expenditure incurred in a year by the union government. Remember, I had spoken about taxes being direct and indirect a few episodes ago? Well, today I'll talk about the direct taxes that we pay. Direct taxes are a tax on both incomes and profits. And you also remember that indirect taxes are essentially what is called a tax on consumption. So let's get back to direct taxes. This depends on how much you earn, and you earn both as income and from profits. So the tax is levied on income or salary, interest, rent, dividend, royalty, and profits. So what the tax rules do is they divide the various sources of income under five heads. So imagine there is a money box and you're getting different streams of income into that money box. Now the government says we will divide this under five heads. And what are these heads? These are salary income, income from house property, business or professional income, capital gain, income from other sources. So you're getting some salary, some rent, some profits, some interest. The total of all of this when you do in a year, you get this number called a gross total income. Now the government, again, to modify your behavior, will allow you some deductions and exemptions to reduce the bite of taxation. We are all familiar with the Section 80C deduction that allows us to reduce 1.5 lakh rupees right now from our gross total income if we invest in some approved instrument such as PPF, ELSS, or insurance premiums. So we reduce the deductions and exemptions from the gross total income and arrive at the total taxable income. To this taxable income, the slab-wise rates are applied and the total tax payable is calculated. We know that we are taxed at different slab levels where the rates go from 10 to 30%. So as the income goes up, the taxation, the amount of tax that we pay also goes up. This is called a progressive tax system so that people with lower income are taxed less. People with higher incomes are taxed more. But now let's see what the various heads of income mean in real life. The first one we said was salary income. This is the most common form of compensation for an organized sector worker. And you know, even if you run your own business, you might be paying yourself a salary. Well, that comes under this head for taxation purposes. The taxation of salary depends on the income slab that you're at. And I just said that you're taxed at 10% or 20% or 30% for incomes below 50 lakh a year. There is, of course, the addition of the cesses and the surcharges that the government puts, but we will leave the cess and surcharge discussion for another time. The second head is income from house property. So when you buy a property for investment and you let it out, you might be getting rent from your 3 BHK flat in Greater Noida or Karjat or somewhere else. This rent is treated as income and is taxed at the same rate. So it gets added to your earlier income, and after you take the deductions allowed, the income from the house property is taxed at slab rate. The third is business or professional income. Many of you listening in are gig workers. Your profits and other benefits from your own enterprise will come under the head of business or professional income, and again, you will be taxed at slab level. The fourth is capital gains. When you buy an investment like gold or stocks, there is a buying price and there's a selling price. The difference between that is either a profit or a loss. If you make a profit, if you sell for more than what you bought for, this profit is taxed. And it is taxed in two ways. There is something called a short-term capital gains tax and there is a long-term capital gains tax. And this depends on the length of the holding period of that investment. Mostly short-term profits are taxed at slab level, which means they get added to your income. It is in the long-term capital gains that we see lower rates of taxation. For example, equity goes long-term after a holding period of just 1 year and is taxed at 10% of the profits. Gold becomes a long-term investment after you have held it for 3 years, and your profits after 3 years are taxed at 20%. The fifth head is income from other sources. Any income that doesn't fall under any of the four heads gets added under this one. Interest from bank deposits, lottery winnings, cryptocurrency profits all come under this head, and this is also taxed at slab level. So given these five heads under which your income is collected and then offered for taxation, I hope this system, this structure helps you understand the framework of taxation a bit better. The tax system is complicated with a ton of fine print, and this should serve only as a very basic starting point to get a grip on what our tax system is and how you should deal with it. And now, on to questions. Today, I'm dealing with issues of debt. So many of you have written in with your worries about debt, and this is an area of concern for me. We need to be debt-free as soon as we can in our working lives. May, what do we have this week?
Hey, Monica. So our first question is all the way from Itanagar. This is Sanjeev K. Das. He says, I have a lump sum amount of 5 lakhs and I have two loans with me. A personal loan with a balance principal of 4.8 lakh at 9.35% interest and a home loan with a balance principal of 13.5 lakh at 9.6% interest. Which one of them would be better to pay off with the 5 lakh I have in hand? Or is it better to further invest the amount somewhere else?
Sanjeev from Itanagar, you know, you have asked the question that so many people grapple with. Which loan to pay first? And this choice between an EMI or an SIP. You said you have two loans. One is a personal loan at 9.35% and an outstanding balance of 4.8 lakh and a home loan with 9.6% interest with a principal balance of 13.5 lakh. Your first question is which to pay off first. Usually, it's better to pay off the higher cost loan first, and that holds true unless your higher cost loan is a home loan. Here is why. You get two big tax benefits on a home loan, which reduces the overall cost of that home loan. The first benefit you get is that the principal of the home loan comes under the Section 80C umbrella. Principal is the amount of loan that you have taken. Okay, so the loan that you have taken comes under Section 80C, which means that you can take 1.5 lakh rupee deduction on the principal outstanding, which reduces your total taxable income and therefore the tax paid. So if you are at the 30% tax bracket and you have taken the full 1.5 lakh deduction because of the principal on your home loan, you are gaining 45,000 rupees due to this deduction. So that's benefit one. Benefit two is that the interest that you're paying on your loan gets a deduction as well. So there is a loan principal component and there's an interest component. The interest also gets a deduction, and that limit is 2 lakh rupees. According to the interest rate that you have given, I think you're paying an interest of around 1.3 lakh a year. So your entire interest gets deducted from your total income, and this benefit to you is about 38,000 rupees. If I count the benefit of the two deductions together, keeping the home loan is giving you a tax benefit of 83,000 rupees. This will more than offset the lower interest benefit of the personal loan. So, get rid of the personal loan and keep your home loan. Your second question is on the EMI or SIP issue. Should you invest or should you pay off the loan? A home loan is a good loan to keep over the personal loan, as it is building an asset and has a tax break. If you had just the home loan and not the personal loan, we could have looked at the EMI versus SIP question to see which deal was better for you. But in your situation, Sanjeev, just pay back the personal loan and reduce your debt burden from two loans to one loan. You have a good loan left and you're getting rid of your bad loan.
Ritesh Pandey from Bhopal asks, I find myself entangled in various loans, paying substantial interest each month, approximately 20 to 25,000. Regrettably, this mismanagement has led to difficulties in handling my auto and home loan EMIs, resulting in a decline in my credit score over the past 3 months. With a monthly salary of around 1.25 lakh, I'm seeking guidance on how to extricate myself from this financial predicament. I struggle to plan my income, expenditures, and investments effectively.
Ritesh from Bhopal, you indeed are in a really tricky situation. What I'll tell you now will sound very harsh. It's tough love, but you really need to do the following things because you are in a debt trap. You are in a credit mess. So the first thing, of course, is to accept that there is a problem and to internalize the fact that you need to do some hard things ahead. Step one, you need to make a list of all the loans and rank them from the highest to the lowest interest. You begin paying back the principal, which means the loan that you took, of the highest interest cost loan at once. And then you move to the second and then the third. But your question, I know, is, where do you find the money to do that? So go to step two. And this is going to hurt. You have to cut your costs harshly. You've got to reduce your monthly spends to the absolute minimum, just the basics. If there's a family, I would downsize schools. I would downsize homes and cars. I would get out of gym and club memberships and all OTT subscriptions. No new gadgets or shopping till you are debt-free. No eating out or any other non-essential spend. Ritesh, I know it sounds really harsh, but till the time that you have got your loans reduced to just one home loan, you need to do this belt tightening. Step three, you have to stop all your investments. I know so many cases where people have loans, but they continue with their insurance premiums for investments or some SIPs or recurring deposits on their fixed deposits. That doesn't make sense. You need to consolidate your financial life. You stop your recurring deposit. You stop your SIPs. If you have real estate bought for investment, which means you're not living in it, but it has been bought as a future asset, you should consider selling it. Step four, you have to sell assets. What to liquidate, in what order to pay off the debts, depends upon the state of the market. In a bear equity market, you try not to sell your equity first. However, if the markets are up, they are in a bull run, you can liquidate equities first. So what are the assets that you start getting out of? Your fixed deposits, your gold, your debt funds, your equity, your real estate. These are the assets that you start selling to pay off your debts. You can also ask your extended family for help. Talk to the lenders to work out a payment schedule that you can manage. Communicate that you intend to pay, but you need them to help you recover from this event by giving you a little more time. Ritesh, I do hope you can get out of this debt cycle. Remember that no problem is unsolvable. You just need to be committed to getting out of debt, and in 1 or 2 years, you should be on the other side. Do let us know how you're doing, Ritesh.
From Hyderabad, we have Bhaskar Rao, who says, as a private sector employee, I obtained a personal loan in May 2023 with an interest rate of 10.5% for a 36-month tenure to acquire some land for a commercial site. I've also established an emergency fund covering 6 months of expenses in my savings account. Would it be advisable to use this fund to pre-close my personal loan? Your guidance would be appreciated.
Bhaskar from Hyderabad, an emergency fund is not to be used at all for anything other than an emergency. An emergency is when you are out of options and your emergency fund is your last recourse. Your situation does not merit a dip into the emergency fund at all. But you need to do two things. First, you need to move the emergency fund away from your savings deposit to a fixed deposit or a money market mutual fund, because you know liquid money in a savings deposit is just asking to get spent. Make it difficult to access. Two, if you bought a commercial piece of land, it should begin paying back by now, isn't it? If not, you should figure out when the stream of income will start. Does your return from the commercial property take care of your EMI or not? If not, do you need to reconsider this investment? So Bhaskar from Hyderabad, I do hope your property investment works out, but using an emergency fund to buy property is a strict no-no in my book. And that's a wrap for today. I enjoy answering your money questions. Remember, I don't look at individual portfolios. I don't recommend products. Look upon this space as a place to ask strategy questions, doubts, and just basic things that you might not understand. Each time you have a good money outcome, I feel that I have won. To make sure that you don't miss an episode, press follow and help your friends get money smart by sharing a link with them. You can reach out to me at mailme@monicahullan.com. That's Monica with a K. Tag my social media handles @MonicaHullan. And finally, remember that you should have money and money should not have you. So let's talk money again soon. Bye.
Let's Talk Money is hosted by Monica Hullan. This is a Made in India production. Creative Director, May Mariam Thomas. Project Manager, Sean Phantom. Head of Audio Production, Karthik Kulkarni. Producer, Meghna Gulati. Sound Editor, Lakshman Parasuram. Artwork Design by Alika Gupta.